Welcome to the second week of parenting, our gospel growth class. We have Pastor Will, myself, Pastor John teaching through this one. And I just pray this is a helpful, grace-filled class for you guys. I'm encouraged to see parents who are like, man, I want to grow in parenting because I want to do the exact same thing. Christy and I need God's grace in parenting, and God gives his grace, which is beautiful. And so here's what we're going to do. Today is the second week, and we're actually going to start out building on top of right where Pastor Will ended last week. Now, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to ask for some interaction early on. Are you okay with interaction? If you, can I see thumbs up? Thumbs up or thumbs down for interaction? I see some thumbs up. Okay. Okay, good. We are all going to interact just a bit. So here's what we've got going on. Last week, Pastor Will was closing out, and he talked about Stephen Covey's Begin with the End in Mind. Do you remember that? The first interaction is easy. It's just like a razor or not. Okay. So we got, okay, cool, cool. You remember that one. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Simon Sinek? Okay. Begin with why? You've heard that, read that, watched the TED Talk? Okay. Now, both of what Stephen Covey and Simon Sinek are talking about are really just looking at the end and starting now with a clarified purpose or a clarified goal for where you want to go. So, that's helpful in business, it's helpful with your own education, it's helpful with your own personal life, and it's really helpful with parenting too. So here's the way we're going to start. We're going to start with this exercise. I want you to help me make a quick list of good and bad goals that someone might have when parenting their own children. Good goals, bad goals. You've probably, not in your life, because all of yours are good, but you've probably observed someone else who has had some bad goals. But can we just talk through some things? We're going to take about 2 minutes. You're going to shout some ideas at me. I'm going to give them back. The goal is, what are some good goals? What are potentially bad goals in parenting your kids? Okay, what do we got? What do we got? Shout them loud. Okay, letting your kids just figure everything out on their own. All right. Yeah, what are some other goals? Maybe a little bit of a hands-off. They're just going to figure it out. What else? What are some goals, some outcomes? Okay, I want my kid to be well-behaved. Okay, would you say it's a good or bad? Yeah, yeah. But it could take a bad turn, couldn't it, too? It's just like, yeah, okay, we'll talk more. Yeah, Josh. Okay, your goal is my kid's happiness. Okay, gotcha, good. What else? Other goals? Good or bad goals? Okay, love and follow God. Great, yes. That's a good goal. We don't have to ask if that's good or bad, do we? It's a good goal. Okay, what else? Yeah, Seth. Keep them away from all suffering. Yeah. Yeah, I actually had that one as a, like, prevent all struggles, all failure, all difficulty. Just prevent all of it. That's my goal. Okay. What are some other goals? Yes.
To be humble.
Develop them to be humble. Yes, that's good. Okay, I'm hearing a lot of some good ones. What about some bad ones?
To be proud.
Yeah. Like, oh, I want my kid to be proud in a bad way. Like, I just want to be, like, egotistical and proud. Yeah. I had one. Maybe parents living vicariously through their kids. Have you ever seen that? They wouldn't state that as their goal, but you watch, you're like, I think I know your goal. You didn't quite make the team, so now your son will make the team. You know, like those things. Anything else? Yeah.
Want them to always like me.
Okay, want them to always like me. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, they always need to like me, and that's the goal. Good, yeah, what else? Okay, yes.
Just to clarify that other one, solving for their happiness is not a great goal.
Yeah, yeah, if their happiness is the ultimate, right, yeah. That actually can take some really wrong twists and turns, can it? Absolutely. Okay, you're doing great. I don't want you to feel like you're in the hot seat too long. I'll give you a few other options, and we'll get right to the point. The point is this, but let's get to the answers. We could say living vicariously. A goal is to pretend and portray that we have perfect kids and a perfect life. Okay, that's not a good goal. That's going to go sideways fast. A goal for a parent's concern for their reputation and how they look. I felt it. I felt all of these, you know. But man, we want to, maybe a good goal is prepare them for adulthood and glorify God and cultivate the world around them to disciple others, to know Christ. There's a lot of good and there are a lot of bad goals. Wouldn't we agree on that one with parenting as we talk about parenting? Well, today our topic, as you can see, is cultivating character in your kids. Cultivating character in your kids. And I want to propose that an admirable goal of parenting is the cultivation of character in your kids. This is a virtue many cultures across the world and across time would promote. But I want to actually take it a step further. I want to show you how this is actually related to God's word, his plan for your kids, and also his plan for you too, cultivating character in your kids. Let's first of all talk, just to get us going, about character defined, cultivating character. What is character? Well, Oxford Dictionary would say character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. It would also be said, character is the firmly held beliefs that result in behaviors often most clearly revealed in the face of difficulty. It's what's revealed in the face of difficulty, but it's the firmly held beliefs. Have you ever seen the good character qualities? You can think of facing difficulty and having positive character qualities. Honesty, faith, hope, love, joy, peace. You could think of negative character qualities. You face difficulty and the negative character comes out. Deception, immorality, destruction, greed. Someone else says, character is the distinguishing mark of moral and ethical qualities that define a person. I like that word mark in that definition. It actually kind of hints at the etymology of the word character. You see, the word character comes from Greek for an engraved mark, or you could say a symbol or imprint, or an instrument for making, for marking. You see behind me? That is a character from ancient times. And what they would do is they would take the character and they would have soft clay, soft wax, and they would let that character make an impression. And as that wax and that clay hardened, something was left behind that could actually withstand the pressures and tests. Something more permanent was there. And so character was the stamp impression into wax and clay. And as we cultivate character in our kids, we want to graciously impress truths so firmly in our children that they remain through the trials and through the years of life. We want to see character developed. But I would propose a step further. As Christians, we want to do even more than just impress good character in our kids. We don't just want morals. We don't just want positive traits. We don't even just want good behavior. We want to develop Christian character. Or to play on the idea of this ancient stamp, we want to have a soul that has been stamped by God's word and by God himself. That's what we want to see. So, though our lesson is called cultivating character in our kids, I would actually just add one more word, cultivating Christian character in our kids. The world around us can actually do a whole lot to cultivate some level of character. We want to exalt Christ and see Christ's likeness formed in our kids. Can I give a few verses? Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline or training and instruction of the Lord. It's not just training. It's not just instruction. Instruction in the Lord. It's key. Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. I think of 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself for godliness. We want to cultivate Christian character in our kids. You know, for Christians, cultivating character is just another way to describe the process of intentional and progressive sanctification. So here's the big idea for today. To cultivate Christian character, both kids and parents need to be stamped by God and by his word. To cultivate Christian character, both kids and parents need a soul that is stamped by God and his word. Now, I want to show us three truths as we walk through this. First is that cultivating Christian character, it takes time and it's difficult. Would you agree, parents? Does cultivating Christian character take time? It doesn't just happen, does it? Maybe you're like, I'm not a parent yet. But we're expecting. Look at your own life. Does cultivating Christian character take time? Oh, yeah. It does. Is it difficult? Yeah, it is. Some of you might say, yeah, and discouraging. Why is that word not up there? You ever feel a little discouraged? Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 one more time. It takes time. But it's built into the everyday life moments. Do you see at the tail end? You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Cultivating Christian character just takes time. Different places, different stages, different areas. It's just teaching along the way, teaching their soul, teaching our soul to know God, look to God, and turn to him. You see, it's in the normal. It's in the everyday moments of life that we teach our kids. There's no instant pill. There's no vitamin that we can give our kids or even ourselves that's going to magically infuse them with all the character and all the biblical understanding that they're going to need for all of life. It just takes time. Henry Scott Holland, he was an Anglican minister from over a century ago, he wrote this. Many feel like character is something that can only be built during dramatic tests and crises. But it is truly in the constant, habitual, routine acts of common life that the swarm of little judgments is made such as form the character. We would do well to remember that we are being made every minute. And we cannot help it, you or I, as we walk and talk, eat and drink, marry and are given in marriage, work and play, go out and come in. It's those moments of life, all the different moments of life. Cultivating Christ-like character takes time. But it's also difficult. Did you notice the word in Deuteronomy? The word in verse 7? Diligently. Diligently. The teaching and training takes diligent work, diligent effort, diligent attention, and it's just difficult. But if we take these verses by faith, we can see that the Christian character is a lifelong pursuit. And that's grace, that God gives us all of life to see our character developed into Christ-likeness and our children's character developed into Christ-likeness. And then we don't have to expect all the change to happen right now in this one moment of training with my kids. Cultivating Christian character takes time. If we by faith start today and just take one step of obedience to Deuteronomy 6, we can begin to see the work of God in our kids' lives. Now, since it takes time, can I just encourage us, because I need this, don't give up. Don't give up. It just takes some time. I think of Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us, parents, in the middle of parenting, not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. I think of 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father, your work of faith and labor of love and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, cultivating Christian character and progressive intentional sanctification takes time. So let's pray for endurance. So if I was to kind of ask the so what question, cultivating Christian character takes time and is difficult. So what? So what does that mean for us? I would say, let's just begin today. So let's just begin today. What's one step of cultivating Christian character in your own life and your child's life that you can begin today? Just one. You don't have to do all of them because it takes time. Just one. Begin today. And in the everyday circumstance of life, continue to walk with God and help your kid. And then here would be the second encouragement. So what? Since it takes time and it's difficult, don't give up. Don't give up. Rely on the grace of God. Rely on the Spirit of God. Rely on the people of God. And don't give up. Don't begrudge the difficulties of life that both your children and you face. Rather, see them as opportunities to cultivate Christian character, both in them and in you. Our desire to protect our kids, I think, Seth, you might have talked about that one. Our desire to protect from every single problem, every single struggle, can actually be a short-circuiting of opportunities for character development and for needs to be revealed. So just take one step and don't give up. You know, as I've walked through the parenting journey and the slips and falls and failures along the way, I've been helped with a little analogy that's just given me some courage and help. It helps me work hard as unto the Lord. It helps me trust in Him that He's going to do the deep heart work that is really needed. Imagine building a campfire. This is my analogy. Imagine building a campfire. How do you build a campfire? Well, to build a campfire, you begin by gathering all the materials that are needed to make a fire. You get the dry wood. You find the logs. You gather those small branches. You're making a pile. You're getting things ready. You're gathering those little twigs, that kindling. You're getting it all ready because you're going to make a fire. You lay it out. You arrange it in an orderly fashion. You keep adding a little small kindling here and some small kindling there. But still there's no fire. And at the right time, a match is struck. And it's put to the paper. And all that latent fuel that you have been gathering and putting together and laying on bit by bit, piece by piece, becomes a blaze. You see, the analogy from my own heart is gather those twigs. Gather that kindling. Gather those truths from God's word. Build it together. I can't change their heart. The Spirit must do it. But in obedient faith and confidence in the word of God, I just continue to gather those things. A little kindling here. A little kindling there. When you sit in the house. When you walk by the way. When you lie down. And when you rise. And then one day, by His Spirit, God works a miracle and ignites that life and the kindling and sticks that you've been placing by faith create a life that is ablaze for God's glory. So take heart. Start laying that kindling and don't give up for the glory of God. Because cultivating Christian character takes time and is difficult. But I think also, if we look at Deuteronomy 6, we see that cultivating Christian character is both taught and caught. I think you know where I'm going with this. But cultivating Christian character is both taught and caught. If we just look at the passage, we can see the explicit command to teach. You shall teach them diligently to your children, right? So if we're going to cultivate Christian character in our kids, it's something we're going to have to teach them to do. It just means taking information and facts and talking about God. It's just teaching our children. It could be through study and application on specific principles in the Bible. It could be through grabbing some resources. I have a whole shelf at the house with different resources. I grabbed three just by sake of argument. Because sometimes I like resources. Sometimes I'm like, I want to do that. I don't know what to do. So if you need help on resources, talk to other people sitting around. Talk to one of the resident learners here, these pastors who are learning through the process as well. And let's just utilize some good resources. Here's one. It's called Exploring the Bible Together, a 52-week family worship plan. This is great. Questions, information, it just makes it doable. Maybe you'd grab something like this, Marty Bukowski's Wise Up, 10-minute family devotions in Proverbs. He has this one. He has another one on the parables. Maybe it'd be something like this, Nancy Guthrie's Dinner Table Devotions, 365 opportunities to grow closer to God as a family. Maybe you're like, I don't even know where to start. There are great resources. Maybe it's just sitting down in the morning, before school, at the dinner table, before bed, sometime, opening up your Bible, reading a psalm, reading a chapter. Maybe you read it together. Maybe everyone reads it quietly if they're reading age. Maybe they think through questions. You let them ask you the hardest questions. You ask them some questions. All you're doing is talking and thinking and applying the Word of God. What are we doing? We're teaching. We're talking. We're helping them and us apply God's Word. I was thinking about other ways in which you can teach your kids. There are beautiful, grace-filled resources, even here at Gospel Grace. One of them is called Gospel Growth Kids. It's happening downstairs right now. It's a gift. We have Kids Church. We have New City Kids that starts in this room and then takes over the entire building. And then it comes back up here on Wednesday nights, New City Kids. And it's a beautiful expression of utilizing other great people to help teach your kids. Character is taught in the home. Character is taught in the Bible and in everyday life occurrences. But I also think, and we know this, character is taught and character is caught. I just want to encourage us on this end. Fathers, here's Ephesians 6. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Because God has given parents to kids to teach them and to show them. Your children are watching you. You are a living example of Christian character. By the grace of God, at times, we are clear examples of Christian character, living out our faith well. And at other times, we need to be examples of Christian character through our confession. And both are painting Christian character. And both are needed. And the thousand other ways. God wants you to paint a picture. Just paint an accurate picture of the Christian life. Sometimes it's at the table, reading your Bible and praying. And sometimes it's confessing after you have failed. Paint a picture of a Christian walking with God. Prayerfully and faithfully seek to paint a New Testament version of Christian life. Show how a Christian really lives. Not a plastic, not a pretend life, but a truly Christian life. With all the ups and all the downs. Work to help them know and see what Christian character looks like. Prayerfully pursue Christian character in your own life. I was thinking God has ordained that you would be one of the closest models of Christian character in your child's life. And then by God's grace, may we live out 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow me as I follow Christ. And this means embracing confession. Oh man, that's a tough one. It's humbling, but it's needed. I don't know about you, but I'm sinning frequently, so I should be confessing frequently. I think maybe you are too, okay? Don't we sin frequently? But in so doing, we can model Spirit-filled, grace-centered, and gospel-saturated living. It could be that in confessing, this can be when the gospel is most loudly shared with your family. Not out of your perfection as a parent, but in the grace the gospel brings to sinners, even sinful parents. And so, cultivate Christian character before your children. If we had two takeaways on this one, it would be teach and model Christian character for your kids, and confess frequently to model Spirit-filled, gospel-centered, grace-saturated living before your family, your kids, your spouse, for the glory of God. Okay, cultivating Christian character is taught and caught. And finally, I'd like us to just think about this. Cultivating Christian character is a work of obedience to God's Spirit and God's Word. As we said last week, I'm going to say it again, you'll probably hear it a lot. the teachers of this class are not resident experts in the least on parenting, but we're resident learners, fellow travelers in this journey. We know what it is like to be both discouraged, convicted, sinful, and rejoicing, all within the matter of a few days or a few hours, quite frankly. We too are in deep need of God's grace. Aren't you glad God keeps giving his grace to us? Through his word, by his spirit, through his people, God is a grace-giving God. So what do? We take one more step of obedience. Sometimes in teaching, sometimes in modeling, often in confession. It's frequently in our homes, it's in the way, and it's as we lie down, right? Deuteronomy 6 said that. We just keep taking one more step of obedience and faith. It's an act of faith-filled obedience. Faith in God's spirit, faith in God's word, faith that God is working even through you. We know so well that nothing of our own can manufacture Christian character in the lives of our children. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So then what do? We pray and we obey. We pray and we obey. What do we do on Tuesday? We pray and we obey. What do we do on the good days? We pray and we obey. On the bad days? Yep. Pray and obey. Pray for fruit that only comes from God. Pray for the Spirit to work in only the way he can work. Don't be satisfied with mere morality in your kids or in yourself. Rather, we need to work to see Spirit-produced sanctification in both of our lives. Pray that the Word would have an eternal work in you and your kids, and then engage them with the Word of God. So pray and walk by faith, and then engage them with God's Word. As we close out our time, I wanted to give you one final bit of some information, some quotes, and kind of lead us into our next session. This actually comes from the book by Paul Tripp, Parenting. I don't know if you've seen this book. It's helpful. 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. And I'm just going to read a few excerpts out of this and make a few comments as we close. I think I have them on the slide too. You can read with me. I'll read out loud. You can just read along. The Bible connects character issues to the most significant of all human functions, worship. Paul Tripp goes to Romans 1 and he does some explanation, and he explains that Romans 1 is telling you as a parent that the heart of your child always lives under the rule of someone or something. The character issues in the lives of your children exist not just because they want bad things, but they become enslaved to good things. Your child doesn't so much need character management as they need worship realignment. We need to confess that it's not just our children who lacked character. We do as well. When you confess that when it comes to character struggles, you are more like your children than unlike them, then you deal with situations when character problems are revealed with patience, kindness, and grace. So what's Paul Tripp keying in on? What we see is that while we may have character issues, really we have a worship issue, don't we? And where does worship come from? Worship is a matter of our heart. So really, as parents and as individuals, we need heart transformation. Well, the good news is that's a work of the gospel. And that's a work where we actually see God step in and do something beautiful for his glory. Next week, our topic is sin in your child's heart. Kind of goes right at this very topic, doesn't it? Hopefully it can help you and help me and help us take just one more step, knowing God's word, applying God's word, and living for the glory of God as families so that he would be praised. So Pastor John's going to be teaching this next session, and we're going to look forward to seeing you then. Can I just pray over us? And then we'll be dismissed. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people right here. The encouragement, the challenge, the help they have been to me. Thank you, God, for your grace that you pour out so abundantly. And I just pray for your grace over these men and women here. Some anticipating kids, some in the middle of the slog of trying to follow you and obey you and cultivate Christ-like character in their kids. And I just pray your grace right now, the fruit of the Spirit in them, even today. And in all of it, God, may you get glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.